my mum used to say, well, if you've been good, you'll have jelly for tea when you come home. That was a treat in the war. You know, we used to have jelly, but when we had jelly, we always had bread and butter with it. I said, we did. Always had bread and butter. But I suppose, you see, it was a treat, and you that was your dish for the... I mean, it wasn't extra, it was your tea.
So it was really fairly routine, I suppose. You know, my father going off to work, coming home in the evening, and we'd, on Fridays I used to meet him. I don't know how long this went on for, but again, it's another memory. On Fridays was payday, so he used to have come home with a bar of chocolate or something, so we used to go out to meet him.
And I think once, and once only, we actually had an ice cream from the man who used to have an ice cream bicycle with a box on the front. And they used to be situated just outside the old park gates.
Yeah. Grandma lived with me when I used with us. When I used to say, go and say goodnight and kiss her goodnight, it was always a sweet. Bad, really, wasn't it? She always gave me a sweet. She must have given me her a whole sweet ration, I should think.
Oh.
Often we would find old pop bottles and take them back to the store and we would claim the deposit back. A penny, probably, I can't remember exactly now, an old penny, possibly. They would be things like Tizer and Corona. And they were quite valuable because they would have a flip-top bottle. They wouldn't just have a cork in the top or a twist-off cap. They'd have one rather like the present-day Grolsch bottles, which I think you may have seen, which are like a wire stopper in the top. And people would just abandon them. And when you bought the drink, you would pay the deposit on the bottle as well as the contents. And lots of people would just abandon them, and we'd go sort of get them out of the hedgerows and things like that. And so we would go back and claim the penny. As long as the store got them back again, they could go back to the factory and be refilled.
When I was a bit older, he'd also bought the premises next door. He used to store his empty bottles, you know, like Corona. You remember the Corona bottles, I'm sure. Which had you got a penny or something back on them. He used to store them out the back. Well, a friend and I, we'd get over the fence and get these bottles. And my friend, because I couldn't do it because he'd know straight away we hadn't bought them, but my friend used to take them round to the shop and, collect the deposits. And I think he did get, Mr. Tennant got a bit suspicious eventually. He never actually caught us, but we had to kind of stop doing that.
Two lovely shops, both competing against each other for your custom, because as you were children, you would spend your money on sweets, which obviously came in after the rationing. And I remember so well the honeycomb. Large chunks of honeycomb.
We always had Easter eggs. Yeah, I can remember my first two. I came downstairs and saw these Easter eggs. They were in egg cups. As those. And I remember my mother saying, have you seen what's on the table? No. Big lie. I had, but wasn't going to admit. I'd seen them, but what were they? And they were the very first Easter eggs that appeared after the war. I can't remember what year it was.
One of the things I always remember about Durban Road, going on a Sunday, was they had an ice cream part. Well, it was a place where they made ice cream at the top of the road.
Yeah, that's
do
right.
Grillo's.
I think it was Grillo's, yeah.
That's it.
I remember.
And you could go up there and get an ice cream for a penny. And I remember I would go, we were allowed to go and get an ice cream. I used to get a tuppenny one. With me money that I was supposed to have put into the collection
fund.
Naughty. How could I ever say I was, you know.
I used to have 2 pennies a day to go to school on the bus. And I used to walk most times, unless it was absolutely throwing down the rain, to save the 2p. So by the end of a week, I'd got 10 pence. which used to buy you a screw of sweets or something.
Now, nobody had deep freezers in those days, or even refrigerators. And so at Sunday, if we wanted a block of ice cream, my brother and I would go up to the newsagent and we would buy a block of walls and wrap it in newspaper and bring it home and hope it didn't melt.
I think the only particular thing I can remember is that my brother, being those few years younger and rather, as far as I was concerned at the time, quite an annoying little brother. The jam ration, I think, was about eight ounces for a month or something, and I'm not sure what 8 ounces is in metric, but I would eat mine in no time at all, and he would make his last, and then he would sit there eating it in front of me, you know, being very very sarcastic because he'd made his last and I couldn't have any.
Our neighbours in Brightwell Road, they were called Mr. and Mrs. Milross. And he had a shed in the back garden, which always you could hear this whirling noise of a machine going. And then when you investigated, I can remember walking in there as a child and seeing this machine going and sherbet coming out of, into the atmosphere, really. And he was actually inventing a machine, which actually then got patented, and I believe he worked for Roundtree's afterwards. I don't know whether I've got the right one, but he definitely worked for someone in the sweet business. And he made the machine for the sherbet dab, which had a toffee lolly inside this packaging where there was sherbet.